We welcome you to another hour of Get Up. We come to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. I am Greeny. That is Rex Ryan, who is back and better than ever. Dan Orlovsky is with us this morning. Ryan Clark is with us this morning as we look back on what was a very interesting day one of the NFL season. And we get up with, how about them Cowboys? This morning, the D in Big D stands for, did you see that call? Or did they get robbed? We'll answer both those questions. Then, Tampa Tom looks disgusted after a disheartening debut. What exactly happened to an offense that should be much better? Meanwhile, Brady's old team, with its new quarterback looking very comfortable through week one, is Cam writing the beginning to a successful second act. We got all the answers as we get up with you, starting right now with the game of the night at brand new SoFi Stadium, Rams, Cowboys, some Rams players taking a knee during the playing of the national anthem. Cowboys owner Jerry Jones standing, of course, with his hand over his heart, as was to be expected. The Cowboys, all save for one, would stand during the playing of the national anthem. To the action we go. Early second quarter, Cowboys down 7-0, and Rex, here comes Zeke.
Yeah, you can't stop this guy right here. Complete back. There it is. Makes a great. I mean, look, that most backs take that thing out of bounds for about a 3-yard gain. Instead, this guy is special.
He takes it to the house. 22 carries for 96 yards for Zeke. Feed me, says the tattoo on his stomach. Rex?
Mine too. I mean, I'm with him all the way. Feed me.
Third quarter, Rams down 14-13, but not for long. Robert Woods has really emerged, Rex, in this offense.
Yeah, he really has. This guy right here, I think he's one of the most underrated players in the league. I had a chance to coach this guy in Buffalo, and I should have done a better job.
He had six catches for 105 yards, and now here's Malcolm Brown taking it in for a score. He had 18 carries, 79 yards. That's his second touchdown. Rams up six, 12 minutes left. Cowboys down three. Fourth and three, they don't kick the field goal, Rex.
No, of course not. Analytics, throw analytics out there in a stack of paper. Golly, I hate analytics.
Rex hates the analytics. They turn it over, but they would get one more chance, and so here's the play we will be talking about. That's Dak. This is Michael Gallup. Oh, it's a 47-yard gain, but hold everything. Offensive pass interference. Take another look. Rex, is it a good call?
Garbage call right here, Greeny. I mean, come on, dude. Great throw by Dak Prescott. Gallup, he's even. He's leaving. Jalen Ramsey knows it. Smart kid from Brentwood, Tennessee. But it's an acting job.
That is a defensive-minded coach saying that it is a bad call on
and
the OPI.
And I hate the Cowboys.
Meanwhile, it sets up this. Dak, last gasp, no good. Dak would throw for 266 and a score. Goff, 275 and a pick. But in the end, it's the Rams with the win. And all anyone was talking about was the offensive pass interference.
It was clear as day. If they wouldn't have called that, then I would have been highly upset. Yeah, that was clear as day, in my opinion. I don't know what y'all saw, but that's what I saw and felt out there.
Just watching it live, it looked like two guys hand fighting. I thought it was well executed. I was surprised there was a call there either way. So very obviously disappointed in the call.
Tony Corrente was the ref. He said, I can tell you it was clear and obvious on the field of a hand into the opposing player, a full arm extension that created separation. In all situations, that would be called. We're not going to allow that at any time of the game. So, you heard from Rex. He's a defensive coach. I want to hear from the DB on my team. Ryan Clark, was that a good call? It essentially decided the game.
I think it's a good call. Listen, Marcus Smart, I mean, Jalen Ramsey did an extremely good job of selling the call. We obviously knew when you saw the arm extend, Jalen understood he had got Michael Gallup had gotten a little separation from him, and you saw him do a flop, but then he tried to finish the play. I think, and it's crazy, I get a call right after, and somebody goes, we talk about DBs all the time. It's like he wouldn't flop in that situation. Like Jalen just wouldn't do that if he didn't think he was pushed. It wasn't acting. I thought it was a little acting on the end, but you could see the arm on his chest the whole time. Then he extends and he gets a little space. Now, what you want to say is, ref, don't make that call, or official, swallow your whistle at this moment. But that's not the way that football should work. That call is rarely ever made, which is why people think it's a bad call. But by the letter of the law, Michael Gallup pushed off. It was an OPI. And just as you can't let, you don't want the flag to decide the game, you also don't want a penalty that goes uncalled to decide a game. And so that was the right call. The Rams win the game. And if you're Dallas and you got all these 3,000-yard wide receivers and you got this great rusher and you got a new coach and Jason Garrett's gone, you should be winning the game by a lot anyway. So it's your fault.
That, I'm glad you took us there. We've talked a lot about the call. Dan Orlovsky, all the things that we could complain about from the Cowboys' offense yesterday are the same things as last year. They're terrible on third down. They don't look explosive enough. They only score 17 points in a spot where it feels like they should do a lot better. Dan Orlovsky, what did you see in the Cowboys' offense last night that left us feeling disappointed?
Vanilla ice cream. Just way too basic, way too generic. And this is an offense that we've all talked about the talent, right? I want to see this ball, first of all, spread out more between all those weapons. And then, guys, you have to on third down at the end of the game. When you go 0-for to end this football, third down.
We're obviously losing, Dan. Let me put that on hold there, Cindy. I'm injuries. Sorry. Obviously, we're just we
you've
can't
play
hear from
better.
Dan. You understand we're all just doing the best we can here, and unfortunately the signal is just not cooperating. I'll come back to him as soon as I can. Meanwhile, Rex, I know there was one other thing that really rubbed you the wrong way. We touched on it in the highlight. Fourth and three on the 11. They decide to go for it there. Analytics suggest that you do instead of kicking a field goal that would have tied it. Maybe it doesn't decide the game because of the offensive pass interference. But what do you think of the decision?
Yeah, no, I disagree with the decision. And look, analytics tells you to go for every fourth down. I mean, I'm sorry, analytics, this isn't Pop Warner. This is the National Football League. And I get it. If you think you have momentum or whatever, you got a great matchup, then you go for it. You might consider it. But you're 0-for on third down conversions. So to me, kick the thing in, especially if you're the better team, kick the field goal, tie the game up, and play on. So to me, there is everybody can say, oh, no, it's right. No, it isn't. You haven't converted a third down all day. So I'm sorry, it's not the right call.
And it was a frustrating game if you're rooting for the Cowboys because all of the same things we complained about last year, and we blamed all of them on Jason Garrett, who just stood there, smiled, and spit as these games were going on, and we decided he was the problem. Here they are a year later, and the offense looks exactly the same. Same concerns. We'll talk about it more as we go. I want to get Orlovsky back as soon as I can. Meanwhile, Bucks, Saints, yesterday. And that means, of course, the debut of Tampa Tom. Still, Rex, kind of hard to get used to seeing him in that
I'm
uniform.
I'm with you, Greeny. Wait, that doesn't make sense. He should have always been in a New England jersey.
Going up against that guy, Drew Brees. And very early, Brady looked good. First drive, first completion. This looks good.
Yeah, okay, never mind. It's okay to be in Tampa. I mean, that's a beautiful throw right there by Brady.
And it sets this up. This is how they cap off the first drive. Brady taking it in himself, and then the Gronk spike, which is as close as he really got to seeing Gronk play a factor in this yesterday. And so he starts out good. But then it starts to get away from him a little bit. Meanwhile, Brees to Alvin Kamara. Kamara will tie the game at 7. Ensuing Bucs possession, this is where it goes wrong. This is going to be a pick over the middle. Whose fault is this play?
Well, I mean, it's hard to say. It looks like it's the receiver because he stops. And it's either his fault or it's Brady's fault, expecting him to continue. Either way, there's miscommunication some way. And as the coach will say, it's an ME, but he doesn't say on which guy.
So Buccaneers down 17-7 at the half. So early third, same score. Bucks back on offense. This is a terrible play.
This is a terrible play right here, and it's a terrible play design. He's looking to his right. He comes back late in the down to the wide side of the field, throwing an out route. Nobody should do that, especially a 43-year-old quarterback.
Denoris Jenkins, a pick six against Tampa. Where have we heard that before? Following that, Bucks looking to answer. Here's Brady. There's O.J. Howard. Brady, his first touchdown pass as a Buccaneer. He was 23 of 36, 239, 3 total TVs, but the Bucs are still down 10. Now it's a 7-point game. This is Brees. This is Jared Cook. That's a big play, a 46-yard gain, and that's going to set up Emmanuel Sanders for a big score.
Yeah, and Emmanuel Sanders, I was wondering where the heck he disappeared. As to that same offense until this drive. But again, this is a guy right here. Expect him to be more featured as the year goes on.
31-17, Saints, 2.5 to play. Saints looking to run out the clock. Oh, they're running a trick play.
Oh, this is straight Buddy Ryan. I love it right here. But, oh, if you're a Tampa Bay fan, oh.
They're going to be mad.
Oh, they're going to be mad.
They may have bigger problems. They lose 34-23. Let's talk.
After the way we practiced for the last 2 weeks, would have never thought I'd see us have that many penalties, had them turnovers. just basically mental error that really cost us when we got back in the game in the coverage. So it's round one. We've lost round one, and we'll get ready for round two.
I've lost plenty of games in my career, so I know I don't like it, but it happens. So we got to just do a better job.
Okay, so there you have it. Ryan, we've not had a chance to get your impressions of this. What did you see yesterday from Brady and the Buccaneers offense?
Well, what you saw from the game was it looked like 83 years of quarterback play going on. It looked geriatric. It looked a little old. That's what I thought when watching the game from what was supposed to be two of the most explosive offenses in the NFL. Now, when you get to Tom Brady, I said all offseason when we were coming up to this game that I thought he would struggle early. I thought that the Saints were a bad matchup defensively. This is a team that can really man you up on the back end, and they can rush for and get pressure. So this wasn't really the week I thought we'd see Tom Brady and this offense shine. He starts out early with a good throw, but then you see some of the miscommunications, the interception thrown to Marcus Williams. You see Mike Evans try to sit it down. Brady leads him upfield. You also had the throw late and inside, and Janoris Jenkins takes it for pick six. And when he throws that pick six, I know right now Jameis Winston is sitting on the side line for the Saints saying, shoot, I used to do the exact same thing. And so when you watch Tom Brady, you expect him to get better. The one thing I wanted to look at this game and see was, without Tom Brady having a mastery of the offense, without Tom Brady knowing the ins and outs of everything, was he good enough physically to win? Was Tom Brady talented enough as a quarterback to overcome not necessarily knowing everything that goes on with this offense? And he's not. The arm is not the same. The movement in the pocket is not the same. When you watch him and Rob Gronkowski yesterday, the first thing I thought was, my goodness, it is not 2014. And that's what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have to understand. This is not going to be, we're going to get all of Jameis's yards, all of Jameis's explosion, all of Jameis's talent, minus the interceptions. You don't have Jameis's explosion. You don't have Jameis's arm talent. You don't have Jameis's fearlessness. You may not get the turnovers that you got yesterday, but you may not. You also may not be as good of a team offensively as far as the numbers go, as far as explosive plays go, as far as putting points on the board go. So you have to be ready to play a different game if you're Bruce Arians. This ain't the old Tom. This is just the old Tom.
That is so well said. And look, I said this last week, not that, what do I know? But I mean, I said last week, Bruce Arians has to recognize this is a team that should play defense and run the football. You got a running back room that's jam-packed with good players. You have a great, not good, but great defense. They gave away points yesterday. It looked exactly like last year. This no risk it, no biscuit thing doesn't work. Orlovsky is back. Dan, what did you see from the Tampa offense, and what do they need to do to fix it?
Yeah, not what RC saw. Listen, the Tampa offense looked like it was the first time for them ever to play together. And so it is going to take some time. There's a big difference between the second half performance and the first half performance. I totally disagree thinking that Tom Brady is not good enough or talented enough. Yesterday will be the best thing that happened to this offense. Yesterday will be the best thing because they will watch this tape and they will sit there and go, "Nah, I don't like this play. Mike Evans, do not do that." Or Tom, "Hey, this is the way I see it. These are the first game reps these guys have had together. Hey, Bruce Arians, do not have me throwing out to the field from the gun in the left hash. That's not my game." And so they just got to have really difficult conversations and be upfront with each other. But this will be the best thing that happened to this offense. Watch them next week. They will be markedly better.
They're going to have to be, and we will see. I have to leave it there. We have much more to get to on this. RC, I'll come back to you, but we've got so many things. Look, we always leave it wanting more. We'll take a very quick break. We'll come back with much, much more as we go. Coming up, it worked on Sunday, but are the Patriots ultimately making a big mistake with the way they're using Cam Newton? We'll talk about it. And then, new coach, new season, same old Browns. Why Dan Orlovsky says Baker Mayfield has to change his mindset right now. Get up on ESPN. Come on, get up. Back on Get Up on this NFL Monday, Patriots, Dolphins. We'd wondered, what would this New England offense look like? Rex, it looked like Cam Newton.
It sure did right here. A throwback to him, and big man can still get it done running.
He extends his own record for most rushing touchdowns by a quarterback. That was his 59th, and then here comes his 60th. Cam calling his own number. on his way into the end zone. Play will be reviewed. It's good. Pats up 14-3. 6 minutes left in the fourth now. Patriots looking to put this one away on a fourth down deep in Dolphins territory. It's Cam again. 15 carries for 75 yards and two touchdowns. He also completed 15 of 19 for a buck 55. And the Patriots win the Cam Newton debut, 21-11. Let's talk.
This has been a strenuous, long process for me. And yet through it all, you know, it's just been gratifying. And I just had such a sense of gratitude, you know, to the New England Patriots and to this team, just to give all that I could possibly give. And hell or high water finish today at this particular time with us, you know, having going home with the win.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Shopping for Mother's Day is usually a challenge because you wait until the last minute, but Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day. Whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement, Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by category like fragrance, handbags, and more, or gift lists like for the mom who has everything, pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, and Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day is May 12th. It'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
So look, Bill Belichick literally transformed this offense overnight. Cam had 13 designed rushes called yesterday, 64 yards and 2 touchdowns. Tom Brady all of last season had just 10 designed rushes, all of which totaled just 18 yards as they were all quarterback sneak. So it's not news that this is a very different style of quarterback than what they have had. Ryan Clark, you're already laughing. What did you see? The concern everyone had here, RC, in our first hour, was that 15 carries per game for Cam Newton is just not going to work over the course of a season. What did you see yesterday, and what do you think of that?
I think Coach said it right. If you're not using Cam Newton in that way, then you are not trying to win with Cam Newton as your quarterback. And that's the bottom line. That's the way that he's going to have to play ball. And you try to live with that as long as you can, as long as he can be healthy. When you look at this team, they're still not explosive on the outside. They started the game off run heavy and moved into the second half when the box was stacked and went to some RPO game. But this is how they're going to have to play ball. This is the way that they are better offensively than they were down the stretch last year. It's still the same weapons. It's still the same issues, but you have a quarterback that has a unique skill set that you can use. And Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick understood that, and that's what they moved to. The passing game will increase. They will give him more, but Cam Newton's going to have to use his legs if this team is going to win. You just hope he can try to avoid some of those big hits like we saw in one of those touchdowns yesterday.
Danny, you put together a tape. Let's take a closer look at what we saw from Cam in his first game.
Yeah, the biggest impact was in the run game, Greeny. And I talked all offseason about how it was going to be about the numbers and then how is it going to be about the angles and the leverage that you can create. And Josh McDaniels did a really good job of that. Just, again, matching that one-on-one in the box. And even if a defense puts more people up in the box to defend against you, you can match that. They've got seven guys offensively, the Patriots, up in their box. They're going to pull a backside guard. Well, the Dolphins have eight guys there. But I said you can give one of those eight defenders to Cam Newton. They're going to give it to that defensive end, to Cam Newton. And what they do is that's the read for him. If he stays down inside, hand this ball off to Burkhead, we've got 7-on-7, and it's a huge run for your offense. That's a big one. The touchdown early on, you're going to split this tight end out in short flex. He's going to crack down on that defensive end. The back is going to flow out to take the safety. You've now got a numbers advantage. Pull the tackle. It's more difficult for that defense to see. And now that tackle is pulling on a defensive back that steps down because it's man coverage. Easy touchdown designed by Josh McDaniels. This is the Jacoby Brissett play from years ago. Flex the back out. The linebacker comes inside. He's now got to communicate. You're going to pull an offensive guard to go saw off a defensive end. Everybody flows with Burkhead. You've created angles for that offensive lineman to go get that defensive end. The tight end runs off because it's man coverage. And that's a big play for your offense. And so all offseason, we talked about the impact. What was it going to be felt in most? You saw it in the run game. Josh McDaniels will continue to evolve and be creative and make sure he gets a person for a person and allow Cam to be himself.
That's really well done. And Rex was nodding along as we were watching that. But here's what I know. I know that defensive coaches like you are going to have one game plan going into playing them all year long. And that is hit that guy, right? I mean, every chance you get, hit that guy. And he took a lot of big hits yesterday.
No, he absolutely did. And the thing about him, though, is this dude's a giant.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about him. But you got to come. Your first priority is to make him throw. It sounds crazy, but that's going to be your first priority. Take away the run game.
Were you impressed with what you saw week one? I mean, obviously, it was somewhat predictable, but it was effective.
I was impressed with Cam Newton. And the thing I was impressed with most is he thinks he's healthy. That's why he runs the way he does. So that's a great sign if you're a Patriot fan. Unfortunately, you got no receivers.
We'll see. We'll see if they're able to be more explosive. You try and play ground and pound, which is near and dear to Rex's heart. Meanwhile, how about this moment yesterday? Can anyone explain this? Lions linebacker Jamie Collins was ejected yesterday for unsportsmanlike conduct after making contact with an official. Now, you need to see here, Collins appears to be demonstrating how David Montgomery had lowered his head into him on the previous play. But watch here as he's trying. Look, ref, this is what he did to me. And he just hits him in the head. He just hits him with his helmet.
What the hell are you doing, Jamie? Like, you don't think you're going to get a flag for that?
Come on, refs.
Rex, don't do that.
I'm sorry, dude. You've never been able to touch an official. We all know that.
Rex. No, Rex, stop that, bro. Bro, you didn't went so soft, Rex. You have gone so corporate and commercial on us.
First,
it's not a pass interference on Michael Gallup. Now you're trying to kick Jamie. You want them to kick Jamie Collins out of the game for demonstrating. That ref takes himself too seriously, and he thinks he's way too important to kick this man out for this. Now, if you want to give him a 15-yard penalty.
I'm an offensive guy.
He didn't
we all
hit
know
him.
That, Ryan.
Are we for real?
Go ahead, Dan. I'll ask you a quick thought. Go, Danny.
Yeah, I'm with RC. I think this is so soft. The official even leans into him. Come on, I'm with RC. Hey. This is super soft, super dramatic. That's so corny.
Here's the question.
If you touch a guy, if you touch an official,
Dan Orlowski called it corny, guys. Dan said it was corny.
When you guys were playing,
he's from Connecticut.
When I was playing with a leather helmet, I get it.
I will just say this. I think the official sold the call. Did you see him? Did you see him selling the call? He sold the contact.
Absolutely did.
We'll take a break. Coming up on Get Up, Joe Burrow experiencing something he hasn't dealt with in nearly 2 years, but Dan Orlowski will explain why this stunning loss was actually a win. And then the quarterback he will face Thursday night is Baker Mayfield. Why was this very much same old? And the question is, can it be fixed? We'll answer it next. Get Up on ESPN. We are back on Get Up, and the Browns and the Ravens and the quarterbacks in the spotlight. Lamar Jackson ready to go. Baker Mayfield, maybe not so much. First quarter scoreless. Baker Mayfield, oh, Rex, it's a terrible start.
Yeah, terrible throw for Baker. It's just like, golly. I'm pulling for this kid.
Hear it in the voice. He was 21 of 39, a touchdown and a pick. Meanwhile, Lamar Jackson, oh, he flips it to Mark Ingram, who almost loses it. Lamar Jackson looking to make highlight plays right off the bat. Later in the drive on a second and goal, it's Lamar, it's Mark Andrews, and it's a touchdown.
Yeah, you know he's going to throw it to this tight end right here, but that's why you leave him unguarded. Way to go, Cleveland.
Second quarter, Ravens up 10-6 after starting on their one-yard line. They're working it, and they're going to work it down the field. This is Lamar Jackson. He is throwing for Andrews again.
This is the guy that can't throw out of the pocket. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, he can.
Mark Andrews again as they get more comfortable here. Andrews working his way into enemy territory, and then it's Lamar again. Lamar into the end zone. Lamar, that's another touchdown here. Ravens looking to pull it away. Lamar Jackson, a celebration as the Ravens 38-6. It's just a thumping. So, look, we can talk about them. They look great. Lamar Jackson looked like he picked up right where he left off. I feel like the story here is Cleveland. Dan Orlovsky, what did you see from Baker Mayfield yesterday? Because there was so much pressure on him. This was a big opening day. What did you see?
He's trying to be somebody he's not, Greeny. Baker Mayfield, you are a rhythm-based quarterback. This is a rhythm-based offense. Stop thinking you're Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson or Russell Wilson. Stay in the pocket. Play with rhythm. Listen to your feet. Stop bouncing everywhere. Stop trying to move so much. You have to think your style is Drew Brees. Stop thinking your style is Russell Wilson. So, listen. It's week one. I'm not going to overreact. Where's your accuracy? When you were at Oklahoma, you were super accurate. Your rookie year, you were super accurate. Where is your accuracy? And then Kevin Stefanski, where's the play action pass that we all thought you were going to bring? You ran less play action pass yesterday than Freddie Kitchens did last year. So I'm not going to overreact. Baker Mayfield's got to get better.
Rex, let's talk about it because your history with Baker, obviously. I know you are genuinely rooting for him. That was a disaster yesterday. What did you see?
No, it really was. But I think everybody has it wrong, number one. I mean, I love the comparison, you know, you're Drew Brees. Hell no, you're not. He's not even close to Drew Brees. He wasn't close to him in college. You're at Oklahoma. Yeah, he's accurate. Why? He was more athletic than those guys rushing the passer. He's not that. I knew he'd struggle in the league. Go back and look at it. All right? Here's the biggest problem in that game. You had the guy that should have been the first player taken in the draft going against Baker Mayfield. And Baker Mayfield, I am pulling for him. And Dan makes a great point. Play action. Bootleg. Where the hell's the bootlegs? There was no bootleg. So, to me, it's not just on Baker Mayfield. It's on Kevin Stefanski. This is the first game you've ever had to be a head football coach in the league. And that's what you put up? So, to me, what this kid needs is some confidence. We've seen the confidence and the way he can play when he is confident. So it's your job as a coach to get him there. You need to have easier throws. Let's run some bootleg. Start the game with a bootleg, see what happens.
Yeah.
He'll probably complete the thing and then go on and on and on.
Ryan Clark, let me come to you. Don't you think that they'll be a lot better off if Odell Beckham plays? What's that? I'm sorry. Oh, he did play? Oh, you would never have known it watching the game. What happened to Odell Beckham? He's supposed to be the best receiver in the whole NFL. Listen. Did he even play? I defy anyone to tell me he played in that game.
Hey, he definitely played, Greeny, and I think he had one of the more significant plays in the game. If you go down to the end of the second quarter, they are driving. They have an opportunity to get a first down, and Odell has a drop in the middle of the field. You follow that by missing a field goal, and then Lamar Jackson has a masterful drive where he marches down and adds 6 more points on the board with a touchdown to Mark Andrews. And so he did play. And listen, there were some balls that were thrown behind him. There were some things that I felt like Baker Mayfield could have done. But Odell Beckham Jr. is that talented. You look during the game, I think he draws 3 pass interference calls. But they're going to have to find ways to get him the ball early and get him involved. Go back to what the Green Bay Packers did. They ran. There were jet sweeps. It looked very 2018 Los Angeles Rams. That's the way they got Devontae Adams involved early, throwing him the ball, getting him in space. You have to do some of those things for Baker Mayfield to get him some easier throws. And you have Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. Maybe we'll see next week, when the game doesn't get away from them, what Kevin Stefanski truly wants to do. And we see some of what we saw with Kirk Cousins. But yesterday was not it. Baker Mayfield needs to settle down. But more importantly, Kevin Stefanski needs to settle him down. That's his job. That's why he was brought there. This can't be Freddie Kitchens part 2.
And quick final thought. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's fair, but and RC brings up a great point that's Stefanski's responsibility. That being said, Baker has to play better. This offense is built on rhythm. It means that when you get to the top of your drop, you look at number 1 with your first hitch. If it's not there, get to number 2, then to number 3. You can't dance as much as you've been. And the 3rd-and-2 drop by Odell is huge because they're down 17-6. They missed a field goal. And then Baltimore flips it and makes it a 24-6 ball game at halftime. So it's a great point by RC. That was a huge point in the game. This is on both these guys. It's on the coach and it's on the quarterback. They both have to get better. It's week 1. Greeny, I'm a week away, 1 week away from saying Gardner Minshew is a better player than Baker Mayfield. It has to get fixed.
1 week? You just said you weren't going to overreact.
I said I'm a week. They got
Don't
a week
say he's overrated.
We'll overreact in a week. All right. Meanwhile, we stay in state. Again, Browns-Bengals will play on Thursday. That means Joe Burrow, who made his NFL debut yesterday against the Chargers, pick it up in the first quarter. No score. Ball at the 23. Joe Burrow calling his own number, Rex, and he's going to take it to the house.
We saw this in the national championship run for LSU. That this guy's got some wheels. He's not afraid to run.
7-0 with the Bengals in front. Now they're down 16-13, and it's Burrow again. He had an up-and-down day yesterday against a good defense. Here he's trying to make something happen, and Rex, probably not a good idea.
He did this 3 times during the game. We see him do it in college. This ain't college. You're in the men's league.
Now here's the really big moment. 12 seconds left. Bengals driving it down the field. They're down by 3. They throw it into the pylon, but wait, there's a flag on the field. A.J. Green seems to have pushed off. There's another OPI that winds up being a huge moment in a game. So Burrow can't believe it. They bring in Randy Bullock for the chip shot to send it to overtime. He can't miss this. Oh, he missed that badly. And so the Chargers on that wind up winning at 16-13. Burrow 23 of 36, 193 yards, and 1 interception. There's a moment that you didn't see in there. After the PI, after the offensive PI, they had time left. They could have tried to throw another pass into the end zone and tried to let the kid win the game, and they don't. They wind up kicking the field goal there, and they wind up missing it and all of that. Rex, I know you didn't like that.
No, I thought it was a horrendous call by Zach Taylor. This is the face of the franchise right here, the number 1 overall pick. Give the kid an opportunity to win the game. And then if you can't connect in the end zone, then kick the field goal to tie the game. But to me, come on. You're the Cincinnati Bengals. You have a chance to really get some momentum and excitement around this kid because I think he's going to be a good player. Mm-hmm. And you punted. You ended up kicking the field goal. Why?
RC, agree or disagree with the way they coached the last few seconds of that game?
No, I agree with the way they coached it. It's just the most Cincinnati Bengal way to ruin a very good showing, or at least a good showing, by your number 1 overall draft pick. I mean, that was an excellent drive, even after coming back from throwing a shovel pass that was intercepted. And now Zach Taylor makes the decision he thinks that puts this game into overtime and gives you an opportunity to win. I think their kicker had made like 20 straight under 40, so there was no reason for him to think that that wouldn't be converted. And you don't want to lose. You don't want to go for it, throw an interception, or have a bad play, and you lose all the momentum that Joe Burrow actually built by playing well down the stretch. So for me, I don't mind the decision.
Rex.
I love watching Joe Burrow face some adversity and come through it. Now they just have to find ways to win. But this was a solid start for the number 1 overall pick.
Agreed. But Rex, real quickly on the decision, go.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. That's the Cincinnati Bengal way of thinking. Go for the win. If he throws it, have confidence in your quarterback that if it's not there, throw it away. And well, you're still going to kick the darn thing.
Dan, what do you think? As a quarterback, what do you think? Go ahead, Ryan.
Go ahead, RC.
Rex doesn't like people from Ohio. Last year it was Baker. Now he doesn't like Zach Taylor. He told the Dallas Cowboys they shouldn't go for it on fourth down and they shouldn't try. Now he's telling Cincinnati because you didn't make it, you shouldn't try. I think Rex
Ryan,
just sits
there's
here
seven
and
seconds
now
on
because
the clock.
He's all corporate.
He seven says, seconds on the clock.
I understand
Not
that.
Three
Rex.
Seconds, 7 seconds. I'm sorry, but anybody can – you got time. You're on the 10-yard line. You've got plenty of time to throw it in there and still be able to kick if it's incomplete. Sorry, there's no other way
That's
to say
the point
it.
Well, you have to
right.
Go ahead.
You 7 seconds, but you have to be able to coach it. You go to your first read. You get your first option, whether it's A.J. Green, and you throw it out of bounds. If that's the way you want to do it and the way you want to go through
absolutely.
It, then fine. I think this way you protect your young quarterback from making a bad mistake.
Dan Orlovsky, your thoughts.
Yeah, I see both sides of it. You know, I think the shortened off season could have played a part because RC does bring up a point. Have you coached it up? Like, have you coached that exact moment up for you
guys? I certainly hope so.
I completely understand that. And I see where Rex is coming from. For me, guys, I don't care. I do not care what happened in that football game at the end. What I care about is Joe Burrow's a stud. And if you're in Cincinnati, you can be a little bit bummed, no doubt, but you should be ecstatic with your quarterback because, first of all, his ball placement is ridiculous. That throw to A.J. Green that he makes that gets called for OPI, which
Great
it was,
throw.
That is a beautiful ball. And that drive that he leads, outstanding. He's a stud.
No doubt. All right, we'll leave that there. We have much more to get to, but I want to take you through what was a spectacular Sunday in sports yesterday. Where do you begin? How about the U.S. Open men's final? The two seed, Dominic Thiem, lost the first two sets to Alexander Zverev, but then he's working his way back. This is Thiem with a big forehand winner and a break and eventually wins the set 6-4, and he's coming back. Fifth set, Thiem serving at 4-5. Thiem, corner to corner. Working it. Oh, that's too good. We're 5-all. Match would eventually go to a tiebreak in the fifth set. Both men inside the baseline. And Thiem is 1 point away from an historic comeback championship point. Dominic Thiem, 2-6, 4-6, 6-4, 6-3, 7-6 is the U.S. Open champion, his first ever Grand Slam. Meanwhile, while that was going on, this was going on. Alec Mills, game of his life, sixth inning, Cubs Brewers, hadn't allowed a hit through 5 2/3. There's a close play at first, but it's called out. Throw gets there just in time. Mills has a no-hitter going through six. Ninth inning, Mills still hasn't allowed a hit. We got 3 outs to go. So can he put together a no-no in just his 15th career big league start? Jacob Nottingham is first up. Anthony Rizzo's got a play. We're 2 outs away. The next batter, Tyrone Taylor, is up. Tyrone Taylor is down. We're 1 out away. Next batter. This is Mills' 114th pitch of the day. This is Javi Baez, and that is history. First no-hitter by a Cub since Jake Arrieta in 2016 in a game they would win 12-0. Alec Mills throws a no-hitter on a busy Sunday afternoon. While that was going on, Albert Pujols was doing this. That is his 660th career home run. It ties him with Willie Mays for fifth place on the all-time list. Angels won the game 5-3. Next on the home run list is A-Rod, who had 696 home runs in his career. But wait, there's more. Clippers, Nuggets, game 6. Clips up 3-2, looking to put it away. They had a 19-point lead, but Denver had come all the way back. And here's Torrey Craig. Can't leave him quite that open. Nikola Jokic is fired up. Nuggets take the lead. Later in the fourth, Nuggets lead by 1. It's Jokic. He's got the range. He's got the change. Nuggets a 4-point lead under 5 minutes to go. The Nuggets lead is 8. Paul George guarding Jokic. Oh, he's just not big enough. The turnaround. Nuggets would come from 19 points behind. Jokic had 34 plus 14 boards. They wind up winning it going away. There will be a game 7 in that Western Conference series, and you will see it on ESPN tomorrow night. It's a great night of hoops. It'll start with NBA Countdown 6 Eastern, followed by Eastern Conference Finals Game 1, Heat and Celtics, and then Nuggets and Clippers to decide who faces the Lakers in the West Conference Final. What a night of basketball tomorrow
on ESPN and the ESPN app. Meanwhile, coming up, a lot of Sunday stinkers, but our analysts will tell us which team was the biggest disappointment in week one. That's next. It's Get Up on ESPN. We are back, and I'm contractually obligated to show you what Adam Gase's team did in Buffalo yesterday. Here we go. Second quarter. Bills already up 14-0. That's Josh Allen. That's John Brown. That's no defense at all. Allen, 312 passing yards, two touchdowns, ran for 57. Meanwhile, Sam Darnold is regressing. This is just an absolutely terrible interception that he throws to Matt Milano. Gase is looking on because he doesn't seem to have anything else to do. Fourth quarter, Jets are down 21-10. Here's Chris Herndon's contribution to the game. Darnold, 21 of 35, 215 yards, one touchdown, one pick. Bills win 27-17, and it wasn't nearly that close. Now, right after that interception, Ryan Clark tweeted at me. He tweeted, "Bro, Greeny, go change your kids' names ASAP. They should be named Drake and Josh, Ren and Stimpy, Sanford and Son. Anything but Sam and Darnold. That is a stank, stank. INT. And as I responded to RC on Twitter yesterday, I will rename them. He's joking because I've renamed my kids Sam and Darnold. I've renamed them Fire and Gase. Those are my kids' names now. All right. First, before we get to that, let me ask Dan Orlovsky what you saw from Josh Allen yesterday, because there have been so many questions about him. And I have no idea how much of that was the Jets just looking like they didn't know that week one was yesterday. But Josh Allen was obviously great yesterday. What did you see from him?
Yeah, development and growth, Greeny. And Josh Allen has done that since he's come into the NFL. And we have to give him credit for that. Jordan Palmer, his coach, has done a great job. And then Brian Daboll, their offensive coordinator with Ken Dorsey, the quarterback coach, has been really good. Him just developing, working on the things that are flaws in his game, the some of the misses downfield. He's an incredible athlete. He was great yesterday in man coverage. This screen right here was a check at the line of scrimmage by him against pressure. That's the exact kind of development and growth that I'm talking about. Is, again, I always say this, stop being a thrower or being a talent and playing quarterback. Can you do both of them and take off? And so really good stuff out of him. And I'd love to see that. Let me say, if this team, the Bills, is going to be the AFC East division winner, like I think they will be, and make some noise in the playoffs, he can't have those two or three misses to wide open guys in games.
The accuracy remains the question there. All right, RC, go ahead. Your thoughts on what we saw from my team yesterday.
Oh, that's still your team, Greeny? I'm so sorry, man. My condolences.
Stupid, man.
Listen, you know, simultaneously, two things were happening. The best player that the Jets have had in a long time played great yesterday. Yes. Just so happened he was playing for the Seattle Seahawks and he was playing against the Atlanta Falcons. And when you look at this team, they just haven't progressed. When you think about what Sam Darnold has and who Sam Darnold is, he's not growing into the quarterback that we expected him to be. Listen to what Dan said about Josh Allen. You can see the growth. You can see the checks at the line. Also better in man coverage yesterday than he was last year. Those are things that we expected from Sam Darnold. This team is going backwards. Your star player is going backwards. And instead of firing Adam Gase, as they should have done last year, they've kept him for another season, which continues to halt the progress of Sam Darnold and this organization. You're going to have to start all over again if you're the New York Jets, and that's a sad, sad thing for you and your children, Greeny. I do feel sorry for you.
Go ahead, Rex.
No, I mean, I think this is, you know, you talk about the Bills. They're going to win the division. I don't think it's even going to be close. But the thing, if you're a Buffalo Bill fan, that has to concern you. Bills, when you get way ahead like that, keep your foot on the gas and finish the thing out. Because to play championship caliber football, that's what they're going to have to do to beat a Kansas City, you know, to beat somebody like that. You know, yeah, did they walk over the Jets? They absolutely did. And it is unbelievable, though. Both these kids are first-round picks.
Yep, same draft.
One of them's developing like crazy, and then the other one's been
flat-lined. Regressing. No, there's no question about it. Look, I said it this morning with Keyshawn and those guys, and I'll just say it again quickly. If I am fortunate enough at some point soon to have a grandchild who wants to play football and in fifth grade goes out for football and gets a chance to play, I wouldn't hire Adam Gase to coach that team. He would be overmatched coaching that team. How he's coaching an NFL team, I have no earthly idea. That was my biggest disappointment of week one. Dan Orlovsky, what was your biggest disappointment of week one?
Yeah, Carson Wentz and the Philadelphia Eagles. For you to start up 17-0 and manhandling the team and then just kind of give them the win with turnover and not understanding what their strength was, which is their defensive front, that is a massive disappointment. This is a divisional game that you should have easily won and felt good that you won a game without a bunch of guys that are your starters. This is a huge disappointment both as a team and as an individual player.
Ryan Clark, your biggest disappointment?
The Indianapolis Colts and Phillip Rivers. And if you think Dan is upset with Carson Wentz and the Eagles for not winning a division game, how can you be the Indianapolis Colts who felt like they were one quarterback away last year? Well, here's the thing. That quarterback was Andrew Luck, not Phillip Rivers. He throws a terrible interception into a little two-man trap to the up top, and then he throws a fourth quarter interception that you just cannot throw. Phillip Rivers has to protect the ball, but you can't lose to a Jacksonville Jaguars team who gave away all of their good players.
Rex, yeah, who was
mine is the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah. We're showing it right here. I mean, you're looking at them. This should be an explosive offense like the Kansas City Chiefs or Dallas Texans, if you will. I'm sorry, but we're not seeing it. They have as many weapons as anybody in football, and when you only put up 17 points, I just don't get it.
It's a disappointing start, and it looked so much like the problems they had a year ago. We thought perhaps with the new coach that would change everything. Meanwhile, week one is not done yet, not even close. The Monday night doubleheader tonight starts at 7 Eastern. Big Ben is back. Steelers taking on the Giants, and that's followed by Derrick Henry and the Titans taking on Denver. A special edition of Monday Night Countdown kicks off our coverage at 5 Eastern. That's on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and on the ESPN app. Meanwhile, our morning is just getting rolling. Coming up next on First Take, you have to hear Stephen A's reaction to the Cowboys' loss last night. First Take, 5 minutes away on ESPN. The WNBA playoffs start tomorrow on ESPN2. Single elimination game starting at 7 Eastern, the sun in the sky, followed by Diana Taurasi and the Mercury taking on the defending champs, the Mystics. Both games are on ESPN2 and the ESPN app. Rex, we have a few seconds. Pittsburgh and the Giants tonight. Who you got?
I have the Steelers. I can't wait to see Ben Roethlisberger and James Conner. I'd rather see them instead of Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley.
We shall see. Yeah, good to have Ben back, and I think the Steelers are going to have a huge year. Rex, it is great to have you back. Thank you, everybody. See you noon on ESPN Radio. First Take starts now.